بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله respected apas mothers and sisters it is Allah Ta'ala's great favor upon us that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has gathered us here on the basis of deen subhanallah it is only our love for Allah his rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the deen of Islam that we have come here to learn how to get closer to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala How to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, our guest, Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Desai Sahib has arrived and he will be with us shortly. But just a few points to keep in mind, inshallah, before the proper program can commence, inshallah. There is a question and answer box with some paper and some pens, inshallah. Hazrat Maulana would like the Masturat, our Muslim sisters, to ask any deeny question that they may have, anonymously by writing it down, inshallah, and thereafter that box will be sent to us at around quarter to four or ten to four, and then Maulana will begin to answer the questions, inshallah. So don't feel shy. If there's any serious deeny question that we have, or even if it might be a simple question, let us write it down, inshallah. After the program on your side, there is refreshments that have been arranged for the ladies, the masturat, inshallah. You may partake of that refreshments before leaving. Keeping in mind that at quarter past five is the adhan. At quarter past five is the asr adhan. So we would like the ladies, inshallah, before that time, before quarter past five, inshallah, to make their way out back home, inshallah, before our musallis return to the masjid and come back for their salah. Make sure that we have parked our vehicles correctly. It should not be that we are inconveniencing anybody or blocking anyone's driveway or blocking any person. Let us make sure, inshallah, that our vehicles are parked correctly, inshallah. And everything has been taken care of before we have come for the program. Inshallah, there'll be about 2-3 minutes before as we wait for Maulana to prepare, inshallah. And then Maulana will commence. While we are waiting, let us engage in Durood Sharif and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair. Ahsan al jaza.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة صدق الله العظيم وقال الرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الناس معاد كمعاد الذهب والفضة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Respected sisters and daughters in Islam, we first of all greet you with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thereafter, we welcome each and every one of you to this ladies and girls program. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, there are many programs that are taking place in aid of giving us guidance, impetus, direction in these challenging times where holding on to deen, though deen is easy, but society is such that it has made it that we are swimming upstream. So it is our hope, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this afternoon to give you some equipment, some tools, some ability to go back into your lives and to survive the current onslaught, whether you are a mother to your child, whether you're a wife to your husband, a daughter in a home, a growing up girl. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the heart of the speaker, subject to the talab and desire of the listeners, that as we touch on the topics, it will be that we will go in depth into certain matters. For we have been told in girls' language, make scones. We want you to bake some muffins. But if you're not given the method, you're not given the ingredients, then how are we ever going to understand how to make that cake, how to make that baking? So this afternoon is not just about the subject of the matter, but rather how to go about it so that we can be equipped in this time. And once again, I do salute the ulama and the muallimat at madrasas, darul ulooms, makatib, that have taught the deen. But see, there's a break in transmission, not that it's their fault, not that it's your fault, but when the lesson was taught and when what was imparted, you were not facing the problem at that time. Similar to a person who's learning first aid. You taught how to give a CPR, cardiac, pulmonary resuscitation. But exactly when that accident takes place, now you're trying to think, you know, must I press the chest? Must I blow into the mouth? What must I do? So the first aid of surviving as a Muslim, alhamdulillah, our ustads and our teachers, muallimat, have done an excellent job, and I don't criticize them even to the slightest degree. But now I'm a mother in the home. Now I'm a wife to a husband. Now I'm the first time left home, married and gone. Or now I'm 17 years old, and what I learned in madrasa, how do I link it up? So these programs are now, you can say, a quick fix to get us back onto, you know, the horse to ride, to get us back into the vehicle so that we can propel ourselves in the correct direction. So I'll be touching on a whole host of things without any real order. So at this age, respected young daughter, flowers of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed within us certain needs. Right, the needs of a person, if you break it down, it is mashrab, drink, mat'am, food, malbas, clothing, maskan, a place to stay, markab, a transport. You didn't come here, you know, just like that. Some of you walked, but most of the people came by vehicle. And then there's also the need for mankah, and that is, there comes a time in a boy's life, in a girl's life, where a person now thinks of settling down. So this is a natural phenomena that Allah Ta'ala has placed in our heart, in our feelings. We're going to explore and unpack and understand what is the feelings of a 17-year-old to a 21-year-old, or for that matter, whoever is going through this, what is going through her mind and what she's doing to sort out that, and where she's hitting the blunder and where are the potholes, and how to take the U-turn to address the matter right. I think so that's a good starting point while everybody is fresh. Daughters in Islam, the need of a human being is to eat food, right? So the need of a person is to have company in life. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam is in Jannah, but the need is company. Nabi alayhi salam is the Nabi, but he's got wives. Our mother Khadija and Aisha, etc., etc. They are his wives. Likewise, Ibrahim alayhi salam, you find Sarah and Hajar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. So that is a normal thing, that where a partner by matrimony and divinity, that means in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name is taken place, a union takes place. But what takes place before that, when the heart starts to bubble, rumble, and things start to take a tumble? This is where the girls are facing a problem. that I want to settle down, but who is going to come on a riding on a white horse, you know? You understand? Galloping to Palok, galloping to Sherwood, galloping to Musgrave or Phoenix, wherever we have come from, and will whisk me off like the princess of my time. Girls are going through this. And you'll say, Maulana, how do you know this? You see, one is speculation, but Alhamdulillah, we in the question and answers all the time. The girls are worried about this matter, that who will come for me? And I know someone will come for me, but what type of person will come for me? So this intizar, this kind of suspense, al-intizaru ashaddu min al-maut, that suspense is worse than death, that where am I going to end up? A person starts becoming panicky, and in that panic, these are the mistakes you start making. Instead of waiting to go the shari way, instead of waiting to go the correct way, which will bring a perfect solution, we try to jump the gun, similar to a little girl whose mom is making for her one of those wonderful chocolate cakes, but every 5 minutes she's opening up the oven to see if it has risen, and you flop the whole recipe. So girls and respected daughters, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has written your partner in life by his kudrat and by his will. That is a foregone thing. We have to understand it, that an alim, a maulana, he was an imam, mashallah, he got a knock on the door, Assalamu alaikum shaykh, I'm a fakir, I need to spend the night, and the maulana was big hearted, he gave him a wonderful meal, some dal, roti, meat, whatever he had, and he told him, you can even rest in this visitor's quarters of mine. And the maulana, when he went to sleep that night, he took 10 rupees in our term, about say 20 rand or so, and put it in the pocket. And his idea was that this man going tomorrow can buy a little bit of a breakfast and he'll continue with his journey. In the night, the mehman's intention took a 360. He stole the money from the pocket and ran away. By morning, when Maulana woke up, he's looking for the guest, not there. Kurta is there, but money is missing. The Maulana starts to cry. Anyway, after Fajr, people pacify him. Maulana, there's no need to cry. Come on, it's 20 rand. What's the problem? He says, 20 rand is the last of my problems. My gripe and my pain is that I was going to give this man 20 rand halal. He took 20 rand in a haram form. He took 20 rand in the haram form. Sisters in Islam, flowers and diamonds and rubies and emeralds, each one of you is a wonderful person. But our cry as ulama is that you're taking from the facilities of Allah Ta'ala in a haram way. You're going to reach the point where there will be a conversation with somebody telling you that they care for you and all that comes with it. You're going to reach a point in your life when you're going to be gifted and pampered and treated like by Prince Charming to Princess Charming. The time will come. But am I that girl now, 2025, it's the 1st of November, am I stealing like that fakir from the Maulana's pocket? Let me give you another example. I just mentioned to you, it's natural that you'll have thoughts and inclinations of settling down. Like it's natural, Maghrib Azan is 6:20, we all keeping fast, it's either Ramadan fast or 9, 10, 11, whatever it is, or Ayyam will be 13, 14, 15. Isn't around 5:45, whether you're the most pious person or what, you do get some feeling for some water, you do get some feeling to have a bite of something, especially if mom is making one of those latest rockets and moons, and now they're calling them space shuttles, Maulana. And I don't know for 2026 whether you're going to come out with UFOs or something like that, if it's not out already. So when that milkshake is spun, especially if you're doing it like, you know, Smoking Joe style, you can imagine how it intrigues the taste buds. So just like a person feeling to eat food at the time of iftar, it's a natural feeling. But none of us will go and touch the food because we know I am fasting. Oh daughter in Islam, at this moment when you are not married, or if you are proposed, you are still fasting. You can't
jump the gun and make iftar even at 6:18, that fast will have to be repeated, and you know if you did it on purpose, then what goes with it? There's so much you have to do, fast for 60 days because you broke the fast on purpose. So many girls, unfortunately, in the most muhazzab and respectful manner that I can put it on till the border that I can explain, are jumping the gun in satiation of their heart. And this is done by conversation, primarily by social media. How you go about it, what happens, whether you've been pounced upon or someone encouraged you to pounce, bottom line, there's some rhythm and there's something happening. There's something making the heart go giddy up here. And mothers and sisters, you got to forgive my lingo. I always put a disclaimer that if I was speaking to old ladies, then I will tell them lili, pili, kichri, and I will talk in that language. I am talking to young girls who know the lingo. I need them to leave from here knowing what they have to do. So that is why we kind of downscaling the talk so they can stay awake and they can take something from here. So young girls, when we are snatching the food beforehand, that food is breaking the fast. Or put it this way, if I am taking food to break my fast, but that food is haram, or that food is halal, but I took it, that food is 100% halal, zaba and everything, but it belongs to somebody else. So, daughters in Islam, it's still haram. So the question comes about, and I had this question not long ago, that how do I, in my life, in this time, you know, cull the dating culture and achieve what I want to achieve? This is what I'm going to answer for you now. Sisters, we, without prejudice here, majority of you would be coming from an Indian background. Whether you're from another background, everybody is welcome. Alhamdulillah, Mawlana Huzaifa and his committee's heart are big. We welcomed everybody, but majority are from an Indian background. Now, Indians have something that goes with them. Whenever they have samosa, they got to have chutney. Whenever they have biryani, they have to have dahi. You know what I'm saying? So they have certain things that are forebuilt and that goes with an Indian mentality, that only if a boy proposes for you, then only you can get married. Whereas we subscribe not to Indian, we subscribe to Sharia and guidelines and keeping our culture also alive. That if perchance the girl's parents know of a good person, there's absolutely no shooting ourselves in the foot if you do things the right way. And you don't have to go and, you know, spell it out to your father. Dad, you know what? A certain person by the name of what you call Mukhtarul Mulk Turab Ali Khasar Ali Jang Bahadur, I'm interested in him and he's living in Izinga and I want you to... Now, which girl going to have the guts to tell her father that? It's kind of like an indictment. Neither are the parents going to go to Mukhtarul Mulk's... by the way, that's an English equivalent to the longest name that you can get in English, you know, and Afrikaans, Jacobus, Johannes, Yarkans, Dabir. This is the Islamic equivalent. Mukhtarul Mulk Tulabari Khasar Jang Bahadur. Don't marry him because it won't fit in the nikah certificate. So jokes aside, sisters, what I want to tell you, there's a way to do this thing. All that has to be done is whisper in somebody who's linked to Mukhtar's family, that you know what, just tell them that certain person exists and you put the feeler and accordingly the thing will work. So sisters, that is the starting point if you know about somebody, right? Now, many people say that marriage is a speculation, and if we don't have the dating culture, if we don't have that you know, get together, how will I know? Sisters, young girls, you are only 17, 21. You haven't seen life. You got to trust us on this one, that many, 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 many people who have dated and have gone on little holidays and they have, you know, like spent time together. They call it the get-to-know steady phase. These girls, many of them don't even end up marrying the person that they're checking out until they go through four or five people at it. Are you an apple in Pick and Pay? Are you something in the corner of Grey Street that every person must check you out? So this is not the go-to way. Because even if the couple, after being together for, say, a period of
6 months, 1 year, we've been to Vida Cafe, and we've had lovely pecan nut melba at Milky Lane, and sometime it was mug and bean. But do you realize that there comes a time when both the couple will have to face reality, that honeymoon phase comes to an end? Because now it's not about mug and bean that's in the corner of Galleria Mall or something. This is now mug and bean. You got to cook that mug. You got to wash that mug. And you have to been there and done that. You got to make baked beans and sugar beans and green beans. So when that shock hits a girl, hey, where's my Ken gone? And he says, where's my Barbie doll gone? So daughters in Islam, this dating culture, aside from, obviously, Quran is our constitution, I never saw it work even in a way of practice. It doesn't qualify, because the couple is living an unreal life. That unreal couple, which is based on infatuation and passion, is living an unreal life. So now the question will come about that, wait a minute, you know what? I am from Palok, I am from Sea Cow Lake, I am from Newlands. I'm just using this area. If I was speaking in Spingo, I'll use those examples. If I was speaking in Stanga, I'll use that example. So I'm just saying, I'm from here, and I'm hearing about somebody that wants to come and see me from Pietermaritzburg. Now, how on earth? My surname starts with A, his surname starts with B. So, I mean, like, how do you fit the parts together? How do I do this? Now, this is what I want to show you, that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala has given us the institution of tahqiq. What is the meaning of tahqiq? Is to get haqqaiq, to get the truth of something, to ascertain, to analyze, to suss out. So like they will find out about you, that boy guaranteed had some teachers in school, guaranteed had some ustad in a madrasa, guaranteed he's got friends, guaranteed he's from a certain masjid, the imam knows him, something, there will be some rapport and profile about him. So through that, you just have to make a little bit of inquiry, and you'll find a common ground. Hey, he's always in a masjid. Now, 2-3 people mentioned always in a masjid. That means he's in the masjid. Hey, what a wonderful Hafiz, always making the Taraweeh. And you know, so people corroborate. You know, we went there in Jamaat. He was the one serving the food, and this is that, and that is that. So your understanding of that particular boy grows, and that builds the confidence in your people, right? Thereafter, a family molds a boy or a girl. So you check the family out. You know, these people, they're known for their generosity. You know, those are the people that always come forth in the ijtima. And, you know, recently this happened and this was like that. They actually, you know, housed the people when they were stuck on the road. And so you come to know about the family. So you found out about the boy, you found out about the family. Somehow, this is like Zambak, this is like deep peat. It quells, it brings down the thirst of understanding from a suspense to something that is now directive. It doesn't stop there. Now let me take you through. Daughters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us mashura. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, despite being sahib wahi, Shari alayhi salam, who's the receiver of wahi and revelation, he would make mashura as well. So when we make mashura, it's a mutual consultation in which Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's help comes down. And I won't go into the dynamics of mashura because I've got a whole host of things to mention. But daughters in Islam, when you make mashura, even if something was not going to work out so well, Allah ta'ala puts it into the positive. Then comes the institution of istikhara. Now istikhara, young girls, listen carefully. Istikhara is a consultation not with creation but the creator, where now you are actually asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in alimta khayran li, if you know this is good for me, faqdurhu li, then will it for me? And then obviously at that part you think of what you are intending to do, buy the business, marry, do, etc. Now in this istikhara, you got to do this thing with an open heart and an open mind, not a foregone conclusion. And there is no such a thing as you're going to see a white horse and somebody coming with a sword and, you know, like a real knight in armor. No, it doesn't happen like that. Your heart will incline into a certain direction. And if that heart inclines in the first, in the direction, after the very first night that you do istikhara, then give your answer that, alhamdulillah, I find this to be good. Because you've crossed your T's and dotted your I's, and alhamdulillah, then make the ties. Why delay something? Now, the reason Maulana took out so much time to explain to you till the door of nikah is that many girls are doing an experimentation, and this experimentation is destroying their respect. And I will mention it mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In all four fronts, mentally, you uneasy. Emotionally, you in a real tizz. Spiritually, you've made yourself temporarily happy, but in the equation, Allah and Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are unhappy. Then how will a person ever get happiness in that? Remember the Quran ayat: وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً دَنْقَى وَنَحْشُرُهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَعْمَى. You know, this morning, I'll just tell you, I won't give you the place and where and who he is. There's a young boy who was given beautiful amount of attention. When I say attention, practically mollycoddled by a whole host of people. But everybody, he made them go eat duck curry. In other words, no appreciation, you know. Now, he phones me, you know, I don't want to go into my call log, but last night, by the time we finished with translation and Hayatu Saba at the Marcus, like 10:30, I'm getting a call. My father kicked me out of the house. So he said, what happened? I told him, look here, the only solution at this part, I got no place at home, my house is full. You can just go as one of the members of the Markaz and go and spend the night, Shab Guzari, morning we'll talk to you. So I go further. And I told him, I'm spelling it out to you, that see, you were on a good footing and your respect had increased and the attention that were given to you. But you made araz from the remembrance of Allah. وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِ. You turn your back on Allah Ta'ala because I saw you the other day. 2 days ago you were dressed as if you were, you know, like a khalifa of somebody or a big buzruk. And then when I saw you on the road, you were looking like Justin Bieber's nephew. I practically told him that. So you're playing with fire. You took the baddua, or I won't say the baddua, but the hurt of your seniors around you. Now you broke your father's heart and parents' heart, etc. What do you expect the outcome of this? So daughters in Islam, that depression feeling, that uneasy type of whatever you are going through, is actually... I got no right to comment on what Allah Ta'ala is intending. But after some time, you can put two and two together. Clouds will mean rain, you know. That what you are feeling is because of the lack of remembrance of Allah Ta'ala and turning against Allah Ta'ala. That uneasy, broken feeling, what many girls just want to make Dischem and Sparkspot Pharmacy rich for depression tablets, and they need therapy and all these things that are happening now. Somewhere along the line, we messed up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what happens when we play with our spiritual realm. Then daughters in Islam, the physical part, obviously being a girl's gathering, there's going to be certain hudud and quyud in my speech. But daughters in Islam, you have to understand, if you're going to go this way, and this is where I'm going to bring many of those who have wedded as well, there's certain hidayat and guidelines for you as well. If you're not going to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in respect of yourself, in respect of others, and respect of the Quran, respect of the hadith, and follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to be like a chameleon on a Smarties box. Now again, I'm telling you, we don't claim to know everything, because that only Allah ta'ala knows. But sufficient has been seen how unmarried girls and married women are messing their life up when they don't want to come on board with Quran and Hadith. And we tend to now go on our gut feeling. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down an institution of ilm, of knowledge, of direction. Nabi alayhi salam didn't come on the face of this earth to waste his time. He came with knowledge to abase and to remove jahalat. He had women around the messenger, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Khadija radiallahu anha, Sumayya radiallahu anha, and of course Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. He had these wonderful individuals who showed the women of the ummah What is it to be shy? What is it to be bashful? What is it to have parda? What is it to be a person that that doesn't interact and intermingle? They gave all these ground rules and Sharia stands for this. But come 2025, the questioning mind, the prodding brain, the wild enthusiast, you know, the charismatic young girl, and now they say gals, you know, she wants to be a bit of a more free human being, and she comes with this absurd conclusion. Molana, Islam is in my heart, man. Come on. Sisters in Islam, you got to understand those that you interact with are those that will influence you. When we were in madrasa and we wanted to know what's cooking in the mess, what's cooking in the kitchen, we needn't go to the mess because that was quite a long distance. My alma mater was quite a big place. Walking from one side to the other could take you a good 10 minutes. All you need to do, our cook's name was Nasim. You read namaz next to him, today is Magnidar. So the smell of your friend will rub off onto you. The interaction of our mod woman or today's woman who we are interacting with physically or on social media, their ideas are penetrating our mind. And I would say most of them have got no religious background or inclination or direction, and they're working on what they found from a Western perspective on molding a woman's life. I get a call the other day, Wallahi I'm in a masjid, Masjidur Rahman or something like that it is, isn't it? And the woman wants to play tennis. You'll say, so what's the problem? Wait, listen to the whole case. She's got a husband who she wants to look after the child because she wants to play tennis with a white guy. I'm not in America. Married woman, I'm not talking about something happening in Los Angeles, which is the gay capital of the world. I'm not talking of something happening in some other remote part of Cape Town where half the people don't know where they come. This is your Durban. A man is crying on the phone that this is what my wife makes for me. And when she comes back from the game, I'm going to make a cup of tea and give it to her. And she says that, I no more find fun in you because you're just like a slave. And he says, Morana, but, you know, I don't understand. I thought giving in will make it work. Now when I gave in, she says, I'm not the leader. I became the pleader. Now who's the pleader? Young woman, listen to me. Wallahi lazim, you are married. Don't play this dangerous game in society. If you've got, okay, men are a no-go, but if you've got women who've got absurd ideas, and this thing I mean not only non-Muslim women, I will say Muslim women as well. Because this woman, as of recent, Hazrat Maulana, I take her qasam, she told, don't wake me up for Fajr anymore. Not in the portion that you don't read Salah, that we understand maybe someone is tired, you know, with cramps and all that. This Fajr is not something that I can subscribe to at the moment. He's crying on the phone and he's telling me all this. And I have to swallow. Now how did this girl reach there? I'm not here to run any institution down, but where we educated from. And I just want to say, if education reaches us to this point, or affiliation to some people who are educated reaches us to this point, then it's better to be certainly uneducated. You see, the game of chance that we are playing, this is now, I'm talking now, aside from the girls, I'm talking to married women. You see, when you make an achar, or you make a lovely pot of biryani, or a souffle, or something like that, you just want expression from people. There's a new game being played in Durban. You want to see the expression of people according to how you flaunted yourself. You don't want to get involved, but you just want the likes. Now, woman, these things are un-Islamic. Respected sisters, these things got nothing to do with Islam. They don't have a subscription in our books. And where is it coming from? It's coming from a background that educates you that thrill is this way. Now, who will look for this kind of outlet? It's generally those that are not getting fulfillment from what's supposed to fill the heart. So they're looking for fulfillment in everything else. Now what does Quran say? And we'll continue to refer to the Quran because that is our book, that is a go-to book. We'll always come there to that book. Allah bi zikrillahi tatmainul qulub. If you look at this verse, Allah bi zikrillahi tatmainul qulub, actually itminan al-qalb supposed to be spoken about first, then what will give itminan al-qalb will be the zikr. You know, if you want your stomach to come right, eat mango, for example. No one says eat mango to make the stomach right, you know. But the urgency of showing that zikr is the way to give the heart. Now here zikr doesn't imply that the daughter in Islam, Khadija or Hasina or Husna or Bushra will sit whole day with a tasbih and make zikr. It don't mean that. It means the incorporation of deen in our life for us to understand that Allah Ta'ala has got a prescription in every department. Now that what women are complaining about, that I don't feel happy, therefore I need to go to the gym. I don't feel happy, therefore I must go to Pilates. Or I need to join a running group. I need to run with a group. And if I'm not coming right there, then I need to do pedal tennis. If you have to sit down all the women and take a report from them, you know what I'm saying? Aisha, Bushra, Khadija, Hasina, Husna, Dilshad, whatever your name is, Sumayya, right up till Zed, Zarina. Tell me, Ben, what on earth are you trying to do? I mean, what's making you do what you're doing? End of the day, a woman will tell you, I need fulfillment and I need my heart to be satiated. There's something that I'm missing. You know, like people going for holidays. I'm talking of fanatical holidays, not talking of taking a break. There is something like you can take a break, but if a break breaks you, then put a break. You can work that out after your lunch. So those people that are looking for something, they're looking for a holiday, they're looking for a break because they can't understand. It's equivalent to somebody looking for satiation and they bought an expensive perfume. You know what I'm saying? Giorgio Armani or Gucci, whatever it is, or some kind of oud, and they drink the whole bottle of that Ferrari perfume. Say, but I'm looking for satiation. You say, but wait a minute. The satiation of this perfume is not in drinking, it's in the application. Likewise, Ruhe Afza, I'm just, whatever coming to my mind, because we in this field all the time, so I just speak. Ruhe Afza, the satiation of it is having a nice cool glass of it with some sabja seeds and put your ice and all that. They take that Ruhe Afza and apply it on the dress. I say, wait a minute, you won't get satiation out of it by the application. You see, the application is mixed up. So today, respected married sisters and unmarried ones, we are trying to soothe this heart with everything else besides what can soothe the heart. Remember, it doesn't sort it out. If your recipe said baking powder, so now you go get baby powder. Say, so, okay, no, it doesn't work out, you know, so let me go and get some washing powder. So you're looking at the word powder, but it said baking powder. You see, if it said put salt and now you put Epsom salt, can it work? Like you are laughing at Molana's lightheartedness, and I try to keep it light because our Sheikh was like that also, Alayhimur Rahma Mufti Mahmud Sahib, that he would give you a serious injection, but in the most lighthearted connotation so you can bite into what I'm saying. Like that baby powder and this washing powder and whatever other powder is not going to sort out the problem, it needs baking powder for that thing to rise and come right or whatever it is. Our heart will not be satiated by what we want to do. You can play 1,000 pedal matches, you're not going to get happy, you're going to get sad. We're just coming now from a Jamiat meeting at one of these private farms because it was a bit of urgent matters. And one of the topics that came out, which needs a national Juma address, is men and women involved in this pedal tennis, running, gym culture. The bottom line of this is not just a pastime. Sisters, don't understand it like that. There's a bigger picture to mess up your intermingling life, where our Amir mentioned to us, and I'm going to be not mincing my words, A married to B and Z married to E. Z got married, Z got involved with A, and B got married, involved with E. You see what I'm happening here? This cross-couple type of new life, which we say we got to be good to everybody. We cannot take every ingredient from every person. So keeping that in mind, we now, coming back to our girls. Now, you know, I went a little bit onto the married woman topic and coming back now here. Daughters in Islam, if there's a certain question in an exam paper that carries 5 marks, and another question has 25 marks, and the paper is out of 50, so 20 marks is the other question, is it worthwhile to spend like in a 1.5 hour paper, 1 hour on the 5 mark question? Does it make business sense? Does it make examination sense? It doesn't do that, isn't it? The 25 mark question, which is an essay question, I would say spend 1 hour on it, because that's going to give you a crunch of your marks. Now, without character assassination, do you realize a good portion of your life is going to be spent as a wife and as a mother? Ask any person that is going on with life. You're going to reach a point where you're going to be somebody's mother and somebody's wife, and one day somebody's grandmother. Okay, I'll come back to that point. Many are being punted this narrative that you don't really need to get married, but go through life, enjoy, and then settle down. Sisters, again I'm telling you, you didn't come to this program by force. You came by invite and you subscribed to it because you had a certain level of confidence that those that are speaking to us have seen life. Right? We are talking from that point by the grace of Allah Ta'ala. There's a whole host of career women who have hit 35, 40, and they are practically, I don't know how to describe this, like crying in depression. Now, I'm not there to judge, but I'm telling you what's the goal line there. Like a pass-by-sell date, you know. Now, nobody wants to get involved with them because they're set in their ways and have got a certain ideology, with maybe a very fancy car, a wonderful 911 Carrera, she's got that, and the flat in wherever for that matter, and one overseas holiday, and a lovely Persian cat, and all those parts are the trims and gym. But you sit down with that girl, you go ask her, Ben, you're 35 with such a fat bank balance, what's missing in your life? I got no children. You know how I wish I can have somebody to call me mama. The only person calling her mama is maybe the working lady. Mama, how are you? But I want to hold my own child. I mean, I held my cousin's child. I held often somewhere. But my own child to call me mummy. You see, there's a certain thing in a woman where she needs this kind of offspring. Even Lady Diana that died some time ago in that accident. You see, we do extensive research then come to you. We don't have to look at the pictures of Lady Diana. We know the story. Despite being the what you call the Princess of Wales, they call her, there came a time in her life when she needed to have Harry and she needed to have her son, William, because there's a certain need in a woman to have a child. Now the Western world is telling you that you do everything. Now you tell me with your health conditions, with things that are prevailing, at that age when you want to settle down, what type of man going to come? I'm not saying men are bad. Please don't misunderstand me. This is probably broadcast and it's going on the live streaming. So I got to watch my words also. So men are good out there. But from experience we are seeing that when a girl is 35, 33 and didn't catch the boat, somebody who lost his wife through divorce or through natural causes is going to be your suitor. Now you're dealing with somebody that already got a preliminary mind. How are you going to negotiate your life? Now those that are in it, we make a lot of dua for them. Look, probably they didn't calculate themselves well. We make dua for them and we don't run them down. We won't be on prejudice. We hope for the best for them. But you 17-year-old girl, they say Luqman alayhi salam's wisdom and tact and intuition of life came from learning from other people's mistakes. Aside from his knowledge, you learn from other. If everybody went on Carden Crescent and the tire got punctured, what makes you say your vehicle is so special is not going to get punctured? So young girls, the education system of make it first is not what Sharia would advise you. Look, we don't stop you from having wealth. Alhamdulillah, you can do something. But do something in that way that within the Sharia, and Alhamdulillah, you can, any amount of money you can serve the poor, and if Allah blessed you, then you can wear the finest of silks also, no problem. But in the process of earning, if you suffered a loss with Allah Ta'ala, in the process of making your life, there was a breaking. So this aspect is something that is very important for girls. And I would advise you that do not make tal matol. What is tal matol? This kind of delay and procrastination, which is a thief of time. And I'm seeing this in society. You want to get married? No. I'm just finishing my hips. You're finished. I'm just doing my door, man. Okay, your door is finished. Let Ramadan pass to see how the door went. Then what happened? No. You know, just my sister is giving birth. After the birth, I need to help you, mom. See, pulling time. There's a lot of young girls in society pulling time. Now, mothers who are here or hearing me over the receiver, I'm not saying for you to be bad to these girls, but you got to spell it out to them. This is not a soup kitchen. You got to move on in life to make your soup kitchen. So a lot of people, they don't want to go into the rain because they're going to feel. Remember, young girls, Allah made you sweet, but not so sweet that you'll melt. A girl in a home is a sweet. You know, she's like a real wonderful jar of honey. Every daughter is led to her home. But you got to learn to take responsibility. You cannot forever be, forever you'll be daddy's little girl, but you got to go to your home and have your own little child as well. So respected sisters, until we don't subscribe once again to the Quran-e-Kareem, and we don't try to function the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to function, we're going to have endless amount of problems. I just want to touch on another aspect, and that is what affects and plagues almost every woman, and that is the fashion industry. Let me just tell you, it's a nightmare out there for women. If you haven't got your ducks in a row, you don't want to go to that walima, not because you're not invited. You are invited and you're given a first class, but because you don't have something to show new. Now understand, sisters, no matter how much we can think about it, every person, including a billionaire, has a limited amount of wealth. Or there's a limited amount of styles. We have become fashion fundis and fanatics, and we're living this buying things with money we don't have to impress people we don't know. We need to come out of this. Now, I explained this in few other workshops in Cape Town. I haven't really done it in Durban. I'm going to expound on branded names. Please listen to me carefully. If a product is not branded, but it's absolute quality, equivalent to what is branded, but is 10 times cheaper, then why don't you use that? Why waste money when you can spend it correctly? But if a certain product, for example, you're going to a climate where it's snowing, and you know no other company makes this thing besides this company makes this thermal wear, then in that case, you're not buying the branded for showing off and for being the model of society. You're buying it because you need it. So you see how, what a balanced answer we've given from the ulama seat. There again, a good portion of what's happening out there is just to say that, you know what? You know who am I? I'm a Louis Vuitton girl. I'm a Chanel. I'm a Gucci. You know, it's just to be acknowledged, because will you ever walk with your handbag with the emblem touching your body and not showing outside? Will you ever wear what you call black orchid cloak? I think so. That's the latest name now. You don't. It's about maybe 5,000 riyals, but cover it with a burqa where no one can see the emblem. You won't do that because it's not about the cloak anymore. It's about the like and ooh, where you got this, and that excited feeling that comes about that says ooh la la. Now that is, sisters, that's called showing off. I have to spell it out, but that's what it is. So we haven't cut you off from having quality, but if your quality that you're chasing is bringing this kind of inequality, then that's not the go-to thing. You need to understand. Then, daughters in Islam, Our dressing has certain rules to it. Understand, as a woman, you can wear pink, you can wear white, you can wear bling, you can wear sequins, you can wear gold. There's no limit to the colors that Allah Ta'ala has given you a free hold of. You can be like a, you know, like the Twin Saver tissue box, all the colors. But listen to this very, very carefully. Your beautiful dressing that you are wearing is for you and for your house and for your spouse, not when you come out of the house. When we go out of the house, it should not be that I'm exposed, which you do not understand this. You see, a woman by nature, most of the women are very innocent and clean-hearted. They don't realize what can happen. You know, like people who drive in Ellis Street and know Ellis Street, the moment they touch Ellis Street, the phone is shoved under the seat because you're going to get a smash and grab. You know what I'm saying? So if you know town, no idiot will go to Randry's and put the brand new, what you call, 20,000 Kangan and Bengal and walk in Warwick Avenue. You're not going to come back from there with even a hand probably. So sisters in Islam, I'm spelling it out to you because I've come to the conclusion that there's a lot of rands and cents, but there's a shortage of common sense. In one of our institutions, there's a girl that was advocated and encouraged to go into Parada, you know. And the compassion, when you say compassion, you know, like presented to that thing, like practically begging on feet that, you know, do like this, it's beneficial, Allah will reward you in this. That girl, for the life of her, could not understand, no matter how much Quran and Hadith you explained to her. And for every minute that parda was on her face, like an excruciating kind of a steel wool stuck in a finger or stone stuck in a small size shoe. You know, like this interfering, and the moment to come out, pulling it out. So the educator, the eventually the teachers had to spell it out. You know what? You don't understand, and now we're telling you, Allah gave you beauty, and there's people who are hungry to see your beauty, and if you don't understand this, then go jump in the lake. From that day, she's putting the parda right. So our nimale, you know what I'm saying? Now I'm spelling it out to you. You don't realize that the feminine, what you call outlook, is a petite look. I hope my English is correct, you know, there's no connotations here. Allah made you gentle, Allah made you soft. If you look at the animal kingdom, if those that following the post and all that will know that we're quite into nature to a'ta kulla shayin khalqahu thumma hada, you know, we gain inspiration from Allah Ta'ala's creation and the magnanimity of it. In the animal kingdom, if you look at an ostrich, female and male, if you know a little bit about that, which one is more beautiful? The male, not the female. In birds also. But in human being, it's the opposite. The beauty from the gender is with the female, not the male. I'm not saying males are not handsome, but by nature, when you talk of beauty, it's with the woman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He obviously, knowing in Allah ta'ala, Alim, he made us, He would know why He would hide. Why you understand like this, sisters? In your house, you got plastic jewelry, you got fake jewelry. Tell me the real 24 karat one, why nobody know where it is? Because that's the real value one. The other one, you're leaving it in a bathroom, is dropping under the dining room table, is sitting on your dressing table, stuck under the pillow when you're cleaning under the bed, is coming out. Normal house stories come out. You know what I'm saying? Why that one was so carelessly handled? You got no value. So the man, I'm not saying Allah got no value for him, but Allah Ta'ala made him an outside creature. That's why Nabi alayhi salam said, oh Ali, you'll work on the outside, or Fatima, you'll work on the inside. So the hidden one, and the one that is really treasured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the female, because she is a gentle, beautiful, very, very well-designed individual. Daughters in Islam, you know, I marvel at Shariat, the way we go about it. I know you haven't been to any burial, and we don't advocate that. I'm just telling you what happens there. A very beautiful girl passes away. So beautiful, mashallah, gorgeous, like you can't believe. Do you know what we do in the Kabristan? Do you know the procedure? Let me show you Shariat. How Shariat looks after you, now you start looking after yourself. A dead girl who nobody will want to marry, when her janaza is brought to plot B, number 45, she's going to be buried there. Do you know we don't just open the box like that, girls, ladies? We take a huge king size type of duvet, you know, the tarpaulin. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 men hold that thing. Mahram or ghair mahram, they can't see. But they hold it with the ropes. And your men, that means your father, your brother, your mamaji, your father's brother, your chacha, or your son, that will be under that thing in the qabr. And then they will open the box. And your body is taken out. And throughout the procedure that they are working with you, even if you're a 78-year-old woman, they've got wrinkles more than the Yellowstone National Park. Your body is concealed by Shariat. And only after we put the planks, Lahad and Shik, you know, we lay it out, then the rest of the people will just see a wooden structure. Did you know that? You didn't know that. If you knew about it, maybe through fiqh you read it, but reality of it, in deen we protect you when you're dead. How about protecting yourself when you are alive? It's a valid point. Look at deen, how it values a person, that when a proposal comes and the father or the mahram is asking that, oh, so and so, Hinda, do you accept so and so in your marriage? Did you know that a person who hasn't been married before, she doesn't have to give an answer, yes, I accept. We make kanaat and satiation upon her smile. Shariat values your bashfulness so much that it doesn't even want you to give an answer. It doesn't warrant you or doesn't force you to give an answer compared to a woman who was married. We say, no, you're a sayyiba, you must give the answer because you have seen life. But someone that hasn't seen life. So deen looked after you from every aspect. How about looking after ourselves? So with looking after ourselves, one thing that we have found is that even in deendar girls and deendar women, those that now will say in parada, namaz, coming for talim, you know, doing either khanka work and teaching, etc., and jamaat work, your nails have become too long. And there's other aspects in the males, but when we are phoning the burial people, the report that they are giving to us is that they cannot use the battery-operated equipment to remove the unwanted. Negligence has set in. So plucking the eyebrows has become the order of the day. Always running for manicure, pedicure, upper lip and laser treatment. But what we have to do for ourselves to be shaped as a woman properly, nails, etc., and that, there's a great negligence going on because of the Western culture. Piercing the body has become common. See, all this is, we are drawing from people. We need to understand young daughters in Islam and respected sisters, that to survive as a Muslim woman, I have to keep the company of good people. So that daily ta'lim in our house, which seems to be overemphasized, cannot be overemphasized. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi left for us a nuskha, a kimia, an elixir, a medication that is par excellence, that has sorted out the lives of many women. Not too long ago, we had young girls dressed in jeans and tops. They came for the talim. When they want to leave from there, they change their life. So read Hazrat Shaykh's works and do not be apprehensive of going to senior ladies for direction. There's another allergic reaction that has come in society, where women don't want to interact, that Appa is too pious for me, man. I can't go by Bibi Appa, man. You know, what she'll tell me? So who you gonna go by? The gym instructor, and she'll give you her ideas of life. So in our Durban, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of good ladies that can give us good counsel. Maybe they'll be a bit rough on the edge. Wear your scarf properly, do like this, namaz with it. Their speech is like that, but they don't mean to be harsh. Remember, when you're cracking a nut, Initially, you'll have to press the shell, but what comes out from it is so nourishing. So these women might be hard nuts to crack, but the nourishment they'll give us out of it, as Amisab Dadabhai Rahmatullah Ali mentioned, no pain, no gain, no rain, no grain. So our go-to place would be these Mastura Jamaats. MashaAllah, just now, a Karachi Jamaat landed in our midst. Not long ago, a Bangladesh Mahram Mastura Jamaat. Then there was a Bangalore Mastura Jamaat. What are these Mastura Jamaats doing? Have they come to tour Durban? Would they really leave their parents, children, business commitments and come and stay in someone's house because they want to see Durban? No, respected sisters. They have created an environment where women can come for an allotted portion of time within the usuls of Jamaat to spend with them so that a flavor can come into our favor. So I'm showing you where you can get this. As well as those of you that are learning the deen, actually, as an after point, my colleague sent me this message that I should touch on this, and I said, inshallah, if the time permits, we seem to have it, that we need to now bring from nukush into nufus, that means our ilm, to bring it into amal. You see, ilm has got ayn, lam, mim, with a sukoon over there. So in seeking your knowledge, you be at rest. But for amal, you got to unrest. You know, you got to put yourself shoulder to the wheel. So a lot of knowledge is out there, but it has become exam related or book related to show the wonderful bookshelf that we got, or just as an exchange to take a screenshot and say, or a PDF or an e-book to say this is what's circulating. No. Knowledge, between knowledge and practice, there's a small, a great thing, but something that is a small letter word, it's called fikr. So one of the things, respected daughters, is not that we're short of ilm in Durban. We're short of fikr for the ilm to invert into amal. So all of us who are learning a dua, we learned the dua for going to sleep and to eat, but I ask you, from this morning to now, we had lunch now, did anybody say, Alhamdulillah, illadhi atamana wa safada? Be honest. You don't have to write up and say, but be honest. We came to this gathering, did we say, Rabbi zidni ilma? Did I think that I need to enhance myself? Or if I'm doing it, is it occasional and it's inconsistent? So the idea here is that get our deen and our priorities right. Sisters, we have come to that particular juncture of our Q&A. And these Q&A sessions, obviously I should have spoken it in the beginning, but I'm quite sure you clued up how to do it, where you will send your questions without your name, because we don't want to know whose problem this is, right? And again, I'm saying, like Imam Malik Rahmatullah Ali, if I don't know something, La Adri, I don't know. So they told Imam Malik, you're the Imam of the time, you're supposed to know everything. What are we going to go tell them when they're going to ask us that Imam Malik said he don't know? She said, Imam Malik is telling you to tell them that Imam Malik don't know. So I'm not Imam Malik, but I'm just a student of the great scholars. So if I know something, I'll tell you. If I don't know, I'll tell you that we'll answer it on the group or we'll send it on the WhatsApp or whatever it is, we'll work on it. What's the solution to depression and unhappiness? Along my talk, I touched exactly on this, but just for you to get again, Allah bi zikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, which I expounded upon, that means do things that Allah want me to do, Allah will make you happy. Because when you remember Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala will remember you. Allah Ta'ala says, Faskuruni askurukum. So for example, you remember Allah Ta'ala with munajat. So Faskuruni bil munajat, askurukum bil najat. You remember me with munajat, I'll remember you with success. Faskuruni bil ata, askurukum bil sana. Remember me with giving yourself over, I'll remember you with praise. Likewise, faskuruni bil salat, askurukum bil barakat. Remember me with salat, I'll remember you with barakat. Faskuruni bil tilawatil Quran, askurukum bil halawatil iman. So, the solution for depression is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, be happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in whatever Allah ta'ala has blessed you with. You know, during this COVID, in the wealthy areas, they were not suffering so much, but they were suffering because they didn't get their yearly trip to Malaysia and Dubai. So this culture that we are living of not having what other people got is causing a good form of unhappiness. Allah Ta'ala accept. You got quite a few questions, so I won't be going too much into it. How do I get my kids off social media? In this time, if you can get across to them, explaining the harms and benefits, etc., all and well. But by and large, after speaking to 99.99 parents, all of our youngsters do have some exposure to this. So the way about it is to have screen time and shut off time. In other words, if they're using it for some work or they're using it for something that is valid within the Sharia, there must be a cut off time. To just take away the phone from a child that got no understanding, we've seen endless amount of problems. If the problem was, like say, 75 degrees hot, it makes it 95 degrees hot, and there's a whole host of things carrying on. As your child is weaning and gaining confidence in what you have to say, then you can explain the psychodynamics and the dynamics and the harms of the phone. But until they don't know that what they have to leave, just to blanket do this thing is not going to work. Right? And you can't be with the phone all the time. So now there are different apps. Like you get a walking app that will tell you 5,000 steps. There's something called a mirror share app. So as a parent, you can have parental guidance app where whatever your child is surfing and seeing, you can just tap into it anytime. Or if you are not able to see it, you can just go onto the history from your side. Alhamdulillah, we found that it's curbing quite a bit of the problems through this. So the child will have some exposure to within the Sharia type of phone, which is within the Sharia. And you as a parent also can have itminan al-qalb. But just to give it like that all the time is not going to work.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. How soon after bulugh should we go into parda? I would say, respected daughter in Islam, before you reach there, start getting the practice. So when you do the heat of the race, you don't get cramps. Because we've seen girls now, she became parda, But you knew around 13, 14, now this is going to happen. Around 12, start putting it on. You know what I'm saying? Around 12, start doing something so that when you reach the age when you have to do it, then that time now you're already into it. But just after person became baligh, now she realized, okay, namaz, this fasting, you know. Now to start, then you're still going to be jumbling and rumbling for a good amount of days, and that won't be working in your favor from a Shari perspective. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What do I do if I discover if my child has lesbian tendencies? This is not the first time I had this question come before to me. Let's go one step back before we answer this question. Your child got lesbian tendencies from about 2 to 3 different sources. They have been exposed to some kind of movie, or number two, some kind of novel and periodical material. Or third one, they have been exposed to somebody who's got these warped ideas. And the fourth one, in what they are reading in the open culture of this world, they've also been told that there's something that is like this. Now, when we say lesbian tendencies, respected mothers and sisters, you got to break it down. You see, some just don't want to get married because they've got so much of history and what they heard, so they just prefer girl company and interaction. Sometimes this can be misunderstood for lesbian tendencies, but it's not that. We need to encourage her to get married and understand that everyone's marriage is not necessarily a slippery path. You get many marriages and matches made in heaven. Then we come to experimentative lesbian tendencies. You see, I'm showing you as it goes now. Listen carefully what I'm saying. Experimentative lesbian tendencies is like a girl or a boy will try smoking
or try some drug or do something stupid. It was mentioned that this can be done, and in the excitement of the moment of something that may be peer pressure or I feel special, dee-da, she got involved. I'm going to undo all this just now, right? And the third one is that the aggressor and the offender is the child. She has really got lesbian tendencies. Now, what do you do about the other ones that we mentioned? You know, just heard about it, experimenting, fell into it, not too serious about it. That one, inshallah, would very much ease. You can just straighten them up and say, you know what, you will have to do this and do this, and this thing what you're doing here is not on, and cover the fault, and inshallah, they won't get involved in this thing like this. Like we sort out boys' problems, we got ways of doing it. Inshallah, your daughter, after being jacked up and embarrassed within the close circle, remember something, when girls especially do something stupid and you found out, right? Do not be like a hero and announce, you know, make dua for my Shagufta, she has become lesbian. No one will marry this girl after that. You jammed your daughter's life up. So sometime you must know what to speak to who. This is just a jumla motor, is in between, I'm educating you as a parent. You need to, I'm not saying shelf the problem, but sweep this thing under the carpet in such a way that she can survive. So that girl that has really got into it now, come on to the mainstream question, needs a remake of her iman and explanation in deeper ways. She'll have to, in a forum like this, mommy or mom or whoever, muallima that posed this question, you can't sort it out here. She will have to be undone for whatever she has gone into and believe, because it's no more just a tendency now, it's iman ka masla. So these are the steps you can take. Obviously, excessive dua and abstention and abstention from those things that promote these things is very, very important. What do I do if my child... All the question looking like same writing. You've got a lot of children, man. What do I do if my child is having a haram relationship? You see, I'm just looking what Allah Ta'ala is putting in my heart. Lot of girls are having a haram relationship because of starvation. She is ready for marriage, but you, the parent, is giving her excuses that why she must continue to stay, and often because this is your assistant to make your husband stay. Or father don't want her to go because they want company at home. A lot of parents, oh, we must finish her study and she must do this. So that haram relationship that is coming, you got to look at the wajah of it also. This is what Allah Ta'ala put in my heart. Whether I'm hitting it on the head or not, Allah Pak knows best. But the reason a lot of people are stealing food, because they're not being given food. They're telling their parents, this has come to Hazrat Mufti Sahib, this question. It came to us also in Safe Salahuddin Ayyub Youth Foundation, which is only for boys, by the way. That I want to get married, but they're not allowing me to get married. And a girl doesn't need means to get married, because the means will be provided for her. So if this is the issue, then remember, get your daughter married and do not delay the marriage of a solitary woman when a match is found. Three things you mustn't delay. Salat, burial, and nikah. Pat mangni, pat nikah. Alright. Girl is not marriage material. Now we answer your question. She is involved in a haram relationship. Build her iman up. Explain to her the harms of this. Or, if it is somebody that is suitable, then we have found that snatching them away from this and breaking this, then they still go behind the mulberry bush and still do stupid things. Get these people married and bring this couple up together and make them follow the deen. Also, let us stay away from company that encourages haram relationships. We'll try and expedite here now, right? What do I do if my husband is addicted to porn? This particular thing that is happening, respected mother or wife that is going through this thing, you've got to get him in contact with some mashayikh who can explain to him that, look, this thing here is going to destroy your akhirat, and it is not something that is supposed to be done. As well as, when we meet a lot of people in restaurants too often,
And you find out why is he eating in kebabish on Monday and sitting in what you call this thing, mochachos on Tuesday, and he's in Luna Blue on Wednesday, because there's no food at home. What should someone do if they're addicted to social media and haram pics? Is similar answer we just gave. Advise them of the harms of it and the benefits of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we as a young girl deal with peer pressure? Peer pressure is spelled with P-E-E-R. You need peer halal shari pressure. Peer means some mashayikh's pressure. Instead of being influenced by girls around you, many girls feel that I am an ice cream, I'm an odd one out. So if I don't dress in a certain way, and if I don't keep my nails in a certain way, or if I don't talk like in a certain twang, or if I don't make it for a certain thing, then they won't accept me and I'm going to be left out and no one will WhatsApp me. If that is what are friends who are doing this, and your friendship is classified by following the Joneses, then such people are not your peers. They're not your friends. They're putting undue pressure on you to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, like in the Ashabul Kahf, you should read this tafsir. Initially, they didn't know about each other, as we would understand per se. But when they found a common ground, they found a unification. So there's many girls that want the right direction, but only after they find people of a common circle, then they realize that I don't have to live a life of peer pressure. I can live a life of good direction where people accept me for me as a dindar girl. Why is it important for girls to learn to cook? The boys must also learn. It is important for everybody to learn everything, but at the same time, for a woman to leave a house every morning and go out into the nasty, hard, terrible, crooked world is not a justice done to women. And don't take it from an alim's mouth. No. Me, I will speak with bias and prejudice. Speak to women who are in the corporate circle. What does it entail? Sisters in Islam, I was traveling for an ijtima. And in this flight of mine, old lady, when I say old lady, like old, like, you know, like a prune that is already 90 years old. So he said, young man, where are you going? I said, I'm going for an Islamic convention, meaning ijtima. So this woman tells me, you can see these people in the plane. I say, yes, ma'am. White lady, old white lady, very old. Old lady to a certain extent, then you can talk. There's no fear of any problem, you know. You see, these are trolley dollies. I was a trolley dolly. A Western woman, kafira, church, whatever it is, she's talking about the outside world. So when we say woman must learn to cook, it actually meaning that you take on a responsibility, that you prepare the food, he'll buy the food. You sort out the food, he must work like a workhorse for the food. And you take on a little bit of task to organize the food. From a Shari point of view, we can't force you to even feed a child. But see the working relationship. Now this type of question, if you don't understand the dynamics of functioning, then he must also learn. He must. Then we'll say, I must also go work. Then you also be like one mama, go and start digging. The other day I went for one ladies program. 12 mamas. Molana, actually 12 mamas with four. The temba is digging, then you're giving the mama the pick to dig. The mama can't hold a pick and spade straight, but he's making the mama work. Now, is this what you want? So that temba is thinking that I must dig, mama must also learn to dig. Whereas if he respected mama, mama could have dug into one can of baked beans and putu, and that would be her digging, and temba should have dug on the road, earned money to buy the putu. You understand how the masla goes? So this is like woman's lip type of questions. What are the main values should a girl be looking for in a spouse? You must have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, and you must have good akhlaq, and people must speak good about him, inshallah. Within the sunnah, that should be sufficient for this time. Honest and able to look after you, not a miser, is a few of the rules and regulations. please advise on any du'as or amal for barakah. We work and work, but there's no barakah. You see, more than giving you a du'a for barakah, I want to tell you what takes our barakah. When we commit sins, barakah goes away from our home. Murat in the house, television, music, lies, ghibat, all these things take out the barakah. Alright, now to give you one or two amals. The dua when you're making wudu, Allahumma ghafir li zambi wa si'li fi dari wa barik li fi riski. Very, very jayyad to do. Allahumma ghafir li walhamni wa afini wa hdini wa rzuqni. Between the two sajda, you read that. Surah Waqia, you do that one. Very, very powerful for risk. Then, between the sunnat of fajr and the farz, you read this, what you call, Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdi, Astaghfirullah 100 times. It has tried and tested Maulana Bobat from Madina Sharif. Say, within 2 weeks you'll see immense barakah in your life. Allah Ta'ala help you, inshallah. Is it possible for girls to meet up at coffee shops or restaurant or have a meal? Is it permissible? It is permissible for girls to have a meal, but why must have at a coffee shop? Huh? Other day we going to do some work and program, and now we're turning by the robot, all by the novel cafe, and what lifestyle now, all sitting and having coffee. Is it the right thing for a girl that is covered? Is it the right thing for us to meet up there? You think about it. That is the start of I'm available. So what you want to do, in deen, we don't stop you from having happiness. You see, you must understand this as a young girl, or as a woman also you hear. Our deen doesn't stop you from having a light moment. Nabi alayhi salam also raced with his wife. She raced with him. But do you know how it was done? It wasn't done in the Olympics. So if you want to have something with your friends, why don't you get some nice chops and braai? Wouldn't the sharia, nobody there, come have the braai at home? Is there anything wrong? Like how are we going to finish this program and you're going to have a get together? Is there anything wrong with it? Ulama are seated there, they say nothing wrong with it. But see, the thrill of more taking the selfie with mug and bean in the background. That is what you want. You don't want coffee. So we will say, I can't say the coffee is haram, but the conducive environment is not conducive, which now we say, saddan al albab, don't go to like this. Shopping centers and things like that is equivalent, let me explain, like toilet. You saw anyone sitting in a toilet holding you, because there is zarurat, you do your thing and out. No one go hospital, hold it, just for treatment. Do it, dentist also. So sometime only you know what you need, the thing. So you do and out. It must be like infidad, you're running away from it, like an emergency. But this casual mall culture that has crept in has messed people's brains up. So be careful. And remember I'm saying, deen doesn't stop you from having light moments, but have such happy moments that Allah is happy and you are happy too. Please advise on how to get daughters to start doing household chores. Daughters in Islam, I touched on that thing. A good portion of your life going to be as a mother and a wife. From a young age, learn to accustom yourself to take on responsibilities. Because you're going to end up like with that call that came, the husband become the slave. And there's no functioning in that house. Now if you didn't exercise yourself, you're going to start getting cramps. One of the main reasons why girls don't want to take responsibility, they can't take any criticism. They can't take anything. And all these mother-in-law problems start like that. If you can take from your mother, when you go out there, you'll be able to take from others. And in due course, you'll also become a good mother-in-law to your daughter-in-law. But from small, I'm just like one fed bird in a cage. Then when you're going there, you don't know the difference between lettuce and between cabbage. Now what you going to do? So, young girls, come into the kitchen, and you mother also, listen. When a girl is preparing something, give her himmat. Like my one relative, she made larwa, you know, laddu. And I don't know what came in her head, she put salt in the sugar. And that Eid was another sour Eid. The point is, nobody broke her heart. They commented on the color and said the texture was right, just that the salt wasn't there. So when the girl is making something and she drops the egg or something, don't break her himmat. Today, mothers also need some tensioning that now in the ijtima they are saying that when your child's shoes reaches your size, then that child is no more your daughter. He was talking to men. No more your son. He's your friend. Now, mothers think that this is a small girl. She's still got dummy in her mouth. I must shout. Now, girls don't want this. The girls of today are different. You got to pick their spirits up and talk to them nicely, make mashura with them, then they'll come on board, inshallah. What do I do if I want to get married, but my parents don't want me to? Right. You see, your parents maybe got some other ideas, but you can approach maybe a senior person then whose brains is spitted on right in the family and whisper in the ears that they must tension your parents up. Inshallah, this thing will work out. There's a long and short of that. Is it permissible to post pics of myself on TikTok, Instagram, if I wear niqab? No, respected sister. Why do you want to do this? Because when you're going to do that, you think the people looking at it not going to be interested to know what is behind that. And you think how long you're going to, if you're getting 10 likes for that, you'll want 20 likes to go to the next stage. So this is unnecessary. There's no need to do this. This is not our culture to post pics. In fact, I'll give you a business masail, business masala to make you wise for yourself. Do your business with 100 years ahead, but let your show of your business be 100 years back. Be so beautiful for your husband and in your own life. Be whatever it is, like the twinkle, twinkle little star. But to the world, if you can understand the hikmat of this, just be like a plain Jane. You'll remain sane. Today now, girl got nothing. Nauzubillah, I don't mean to run any person down. But through that, she wants acknowledgement. So, Sharia doesn't stop you from being the most beautiful person. But why expose the beauty? We have to be hidden. The rule of a girl is most concealed, least revealed. Even in our namaz, which is the ibadat, we are told, go to one corner. All this denotes, it doesn't denote claustrophobic tendencies. It denotes value. Because what thing will you hide in your house? Your jewelry, isn't it? So Sharia always looks at us as jewels. We're reaching the end of our questions. Probably your tea is getting cold. What is Maulana's advice for kids who play sports and miss maktab? Allahu Akbar. It's so sad, mothers and sisters, that we give extramural activities preference. You know, we at the Kabristan, and sometimes high profile, qualified professionals, Maulana, you must have experienced this. Read for my father. Wait a minute, your dad passed away, I must read for your father. I don't mind reading for your father, but can't you read for... No, Maulana, you all are the ulamas, you all must do this thing. I'll sort you out. Oh, my parent, make your children miss maktab. We don't know at your grave if there'll be a Maulana there to read for you. We are designing children that can't pick up the Quran when we pass away. So, if you need your child to play sports, we made the maktab Monday to Friday. Saturday, play how much sports you want to play. And I often ask this question while we are here. Are dentists more cheaper at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Because I also got some fillings to put. Everybody want to go dentist maktab time. Why don't go school time? Maybe it's half 50% that time. So remember, if you're not true to your teeth will be false to you. So sisters in Islam, take maktab education serious. And don't take it like it's just something by the way and informal. 2 days ago, someone asked me, Maulana, we want to take the exam early because a school exam will finish by a certain date. So I said, what if madrasa exam finish by a certain date? Will you go to the school principal and ask the school? He said, no, I can't go. They got rules. So I said, what? We're cutting grass here. How do they come to the conclusion of this? You see, it's called a downscaling of unimportance of Allah's institution. We got to revisit our thoughts. Is it permissible to go to the gym or walk in groups on the... Molana, what is this? Rockal? No, they're not writing promenade. On road for fitness. Sisters in Islam, listen to my answer carefully, then we fit it together. You have to keep fit. Because today, most of the money going in medical problems. When I was in Cape Town, I gave full bayan about this, Kaji Sahab. That we're not eating right. Our eating, now you see, whatever going to be produced, 5-6 samosa you're eating, then you want to walk on the road. You already went off the road. So most of the health, listen, from a person who knows what he's talking about, it don't come from exercising. It comes from eating right. Sweet and wheat. So before you ask me this question, I'm asking you the question, what are you eating? How many plate biryani you dish out? Like that one person is just in a buffet, he went one time, two time, three time. Then the wife said, don't feel shy. He said, nothing to feel shy. I told him, I'm dishing out for you. So our eating is gone wrong. So let's come to your question. Sisters, you must keep fit. And there's a lot of wonderful exercises that a woman can do in the privacy of her home. Again, you are going to the gym to be recognized as Mrs. Jim. You want to walk on the road because that's the go-to thing. Other day, we're going for further, they're all walking on the road. I said, there's a new pedal Jamaat came out. This is not for us to, if your object is fitness, then wherever you can get the fitness, you'll get it. Why you have to parade and get it? So we don't advocate such things. My parents want me to get married, but I am not ready. Okay. We had this question before. Girl, if you are ready to be married and you are just playing around, you're delaying for nothing, then please listen to your parents. And mommy and daddy who are here and listening to this thing, if the girl is generally not ready, or if she's ready and she doesn't find it a match, then you shouldn't force. It's a balanced answer. If a girl gets a proposal from a person of another caste, Molana, what is this word? Caste? Lagor? What is? No. I'm seeing, I don't. Gore. Can the parents? Oh, another gao. And if the guy is pious, okay. Sisters, another caste now. You know how I explain this question? There is no superior caste and inferior caste. But this much I can tell you. There's a car called Ferrari and a car called Porsche also. There's a one Bugatti and there's also a Trans Am also. All these are supercars, right? Anything wrong with them? But to make the Ferrari work, you put Ferrari part. To make the Porsche work, you put Porsche part. So everybody is wonderful. Merck is wonderful. BMW is also wonderful. But the part is different. So sometimes it's not about the caste. That because you got four wheels, it's pious, it can just move. You know what I'm saying? Is also how that thing works in the family. You see what I'm saying? So respected daughter, Kufu is very important. See, I never run any caste down. Whatever your language, you speak Japanese, Chinese, you speak Zulu, you speak Afrikaan, you speak Meman, you speak Gujarati, you speak Urdu, you speak Tamil, Hindi, all your caste is there. But you're Muslim. But not every BM can take a Merc part and not every Merc can take a BM part. So it's good to let Merc work with Merc part for the functioning. But occasionally, the wiper of the BM can fit into the Merc also. But look how you can make it work itself. Molana, what is your advice to parents who give their kids cell phones and free access to the internet? I answered this whole question. My advice to you is that don't give them this thing. But if they're already into it, then the weaning stage, you know when a child don't want to leave milk, what performance? So I gave you the whole explanation about parent app, control time, all that. Same bayan for this one, inshallah. We almost done with the questions. Molana, what to look for in a spouse? We just answered the question, but this imandari, taqwa, and very important, who they associated with. Another important point while I'm here, when you are hearing about a profile about a girl or a boy, then a lot of time what is being mentioned is mentioned for the convenience of the moment. But when you go and research that thing after that person, because he met certain sheikh one time, he said, no, I'm associated to that buzruk. But after they never met him for a life, or the girl say, no, a certain person is my ustad, and I listen to his majlis. One time only you heard Maulana Ilyas Patel or Mufti, you know, I'm paband with his majlis. Paband means regular, you're not regular. So when you're looking in your spouse, look for regularity with pious people, inshallah that person should be right. Because al-mar'u ala dini khalilihi, you know. Two questions left. Is it permissible to get to know a prospective spouse before marriage? If you're talking of dating culture, I explained that thing in great detail. But through the correct Shari sources to find out, is he got a job, haven't got a job, what the temperament, those things through the correct sources you can find out. That should be done. The due diligence must be done. In fact, now we say you need to ask a lot of questions because to get it right. But not you involved in that thing and 2 months experimentative stage and then say, no, I'm finding out. Because you might get lost. Last question. Very neat writing. How do you handle social pressure from parents if you've reached a marriageable age but not sure if you're ready for marriage? Now, what does it mean? Like they don't want her to get married. How do you handle social pressure from parents if you reach a marriageable age but not sure if you're ready for marriage? Okay, I think so, marriage pressure. So, again, exact same answer. See, girl, you're 21 years old, you're responsible, you know everything, you're eligible for marriage, and they're telling you to get settled down. They're not doing this because they haven't got food in the house. They want you to settle down because they know the ramifications of not settling down. In that case, your parents are 100% right. In the event, respected mother who's seated here, if you are hearing this question, the girl is not ready. She's still sucking thumb and eating lollipop. She don't know atta from mata, and because you just want, like the rest of the nieces got married, wanted to get married, she don't know. Then don't force this marriage. Or if she is exactly marriageable age, responsible, but she's unhappy genuinely with somebody because maybe the distance or whatever it is, then don't force that marriage because we have seen repercussions of such thing. These are not questions. This is a paper, mashallah. Okay. Respected sisters, we've come to the culmination of this ladies and girls majalis. Remember, for those of you that have subscribed into the other talks, sometimes there's topics we cover there, sometimes topics we cover here, like today we touch dynamics that we never touch somewhere else. It's not necessarily that we didn't deliver exactly like that. It is found that as per the need, Allah Ta'ala opens up the heart. So we have a flower, but when we reach there, we know certain place need puri, certain place need roll, certain place need bun. We bake accordingly. So don't feel disappointed if everything that you have come to seek this afternoon didn't come out. We'll have another majlis for other aspects. Whatever has come across, take it to heart, ponder over it, reflect over it, and if your question was not answered, then send it to a Darul Iftar, they'll give you a deeper answer. If it was not answered correctly, you can always correct us through the necessary mediums. Allah Ta'ala accept and bless the organizers of the program. We make a very short dua, and thereafter you can continue with your procedures that Hazrat Mullah Huzaifah Sahib has mentioned. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. O my beloved Allah, as women in this 2025 period, we are facing extreme amount of challenges from every aspect, physically, emotionally, mentally, and especially spiritually. O Allah, we are facing spiritual, we are facing peer pressure, O Allah. O Allah, many of the girls are ready to get married, but my beloved Allah, they don't have suitable partners. O Allah, you make way for them. And those that are married, give them muhabbat in their home. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa zurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. O Allah Ta'ala, in whichever home there is pressures between the parents and the children, give them muhabbat and understanding and muhabbat in that home so that it can function. O Allah Ta'ala, put muhabbat in the homes between husband and wife, and let there be understanding with the children, and especially between in-laws and daughter-in-laws. Ya Allah, prepare our children for the onward portion of life. O Allah Ta'ala, those girls that have come involved in illicit relationships, whether it's on WhatsApp, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, O Allah, and those that have entered into dating culture, my Allah, please help us out of this problem and let us realize there's a place like Akhirah. O Allah Ta'ala, those of us that have become cell phone addicts, and those that are going on to illicit sites, Ya Allah Ta'ala, change our zawk and shawk and give us the correct direction. It mustn't be for this brief moment what creation we lose out on the eternal creator. Oh my beloved Allah, when it comes the time of the marriage, let a suitable partner come that will take us to Jannat. Ila al-alameen, those of us that have got new ideas, Ya Allah, of gym and Pilates and paddles, Allah Ta'ala, let us understand our deen and the favor that you bring for us, that we do not get involved and stuck into these things. Ya Bari Ta'ala, all our works of deen, accept it, jamaat work, khanka work, and allow us to take the maktab work seriously, my beloved Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, save us from murat and save us from selfies, save us from photography and from videos. Ya Allah Ta'ala, let us not seek these kind of pleasures that invite your displeasure. Ilal Alameen, we beg you, my beloved Allah, we beg you, my beloved Allah, that give us suitable partners in our life. Ya Allah Ta'ala, let us be an asset to our parents and Birul Walidain. Let us not invite tears to them. O Allah Ta'ala, and if we are parents, let us be good parents to our children. O Allah Ta'ala, this coffee shop culture that has come about. Ya Bari Ta'ala, where the mall culture that has come about has mauled our iman away. If we are among those people that have left our home, Ya Allah Ta'ala, and we have become a society lady, Ya Allah, once again return us to our nest so that we can become protected. O my beloved Allah, you help us and guide us and protect us. Ya Allah, when we have to leave this world, Ya Allah, let it be with iman. Allahumma thabitna ala al-iman, wa amitna ala al-iman, wa ahsurna yawm al-qiyamati ma al-muttaqina ma al-iman. O Allah Ta'ala, save us from women's liberation and peer pressure, and save us from those people that can mislead us. Ya Bari Ta'ala, those of us that have got photography in our house and haram pictures, etc., Ya Allah Ta'ala, give us a tawfiq to delete those things. O Allah, whatever tendencies have come in, especially this LGBT culture, Ya Allah Ta'ala, remove it from us. O Allah, those girls that are grappling with the deen and they're feeling like out of place because of putting on parda or putting on the cloak or covering themselves, Ya Allah Ta'ala, let them find conducive friends that can allow them to progress. And O Allah, let them not interact with people who can dissuade them from the deen. Ya Bari Ta'ala, whatever is the du'as of the mothers and the daughters and the brothers and those that are in this gathering, Ya Allah, inke du'a ko kabul farma. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimin. Subhanallahi bihamdihi subhanaka wa
Jazakum Allah Ahsan al-Jaza to Hazrat Mawlana for his advices and for his beautiful answers. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Once again, we remind our mothers and sisters that in about 25 minutes, inshallah, they should start making their way home, inshallah, as our musallis will be attending the salah, which will be taking place, inshallah. 5:15 will be the adhan. So at least 10 minutes before that, we would request the mothers and sisters that you can depart, but for now, inshallah, please enjoy whatever has been prepared for you on that side, inshallah. Show our love and muhabbat to our Muslim sisters, inshallah. Meet them, greet them also, inshallah. And let us leave, inshallah, with love in our hearts for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for our fellow Muslim sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.